4:15, this is Don Shelby on WCCO, Wednesday E-Day, Energy and the Environment. And when we talk about that, we can't stay very far away from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance because it's just packed with people who've been thinking about this subject for an awfully long time. And I thought we would talk a little bit about it today, particularly if we can focus a little bit on solar energy. John Farrell is my guest today from the Institute. It's good to have you with us, John.
Yeah, thanks so much, Don. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let me begin by going with the headline news, and that is George Bush claims progress on climate change. This was a plan by the G8 group, an agreement in principle, which they want to call 50 by 2050, that is lowering by 50% the carbon dioxide output by 2050. Now, I'm not going to be, because I take the middle of the road, I'm objective, not Republican or Democrat on this issue, but I'm just going to say this is hogwash. Because people who are listening like to talk about energy and think about energy, and they listen on Wednesday. Is there any reason why this should not be called hogwash?
Well, I think you have a great term for it, because as we found out in any number of places when we've tried to set energy goals, that you need some road marks along the way. You need some steps along the way if you're going to have serious goals. And this is pretty much just saying that, you know, 50 years from now, which is a long time away, this large group of nations will make this tentative agreement to have this goal. And you've seen that the rules that we've made in Minnesota are a lot more substantial, like our renewable energy standard, and there are benchmarks along the way, and there's nothing like that here, so I think hogwash is a fair term.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that I understood this. I'm not trying to criticize George Bush on the matter, because he's come an awfully long way on the issue of global warming during his 8 years from it doesn't exist. It does exist, and it's caused by man during the campaign in 2000, and then, no, it doesn't exist, and it's not caused by man, and to, yeah, it does exist, and it could be caused by man. So he's kind of gone through a lot of permutations on this issue, but the science is building up around him and his science advisors. But now Dick Cheney is accused yesterday of getting in and changing and editing the testimony before Congress of the head of the CDC. And the EPA on some of the issues regarding global climate change. So I don't know exactly what's going on in Washington, D.C., and I suppose neither do you at this point.
I think that's a fair statement.
One thing we do know that's going on in Washington, D.C. is the renewable energy credit, the incentives for renewable energy hung up in Congress. They can't get agreement because it's, I've heard it explained a million different ways. One, some people don't like incentives. Some people don't like incentives to corporations. Some people don't like incentives to consumers, depending on where you are on the political spectrum. Some people don't like incentives because it gives one segment of the corporate America an upside at the detriment of others, and so they don't like that. That's an uneven, unmarketable kind of situation to be in. But whatever it is, the incentives that will help alternative energies, solar and wind primarily, grow are being withheld by Congress. But where they are being brought to bear, particularly in the solar area, the talk is about large concentrators that would be, in essence, like coal-fired power plants, except they don't pollute, but they would be off in the desert somewhere or off into the plain somewhere, and you'd still have all this transmission. That's kind of against the whole idea of local self-reliance, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to get people to be more distributed in their energy and have it closer to home.
Absolutely. I just put out a report on this. It's on our website, newrules.org, that looks at this solar issue. And, you know, what it comes down to is solar energy is wonderful. It's about time that we're really looking seriously at this kind of technology. But the challenge that we've got here is the kind of incentives we've set up basically say that, you know, we should be doing solar power like we've been doing fossil fuels, which is, like Don said, you know, like you said, Don, in these large centralized plants with these mirrors that concentrate the sun's energy to create electricity. But the problem here is that then that means that if we do it that way, We're going to have to send that power over long-distance transmission lines, that we're all going to have to share the cost of building those transmission lines. And there are a lot of opportunities with solar power in particular, like with rooftop solar panels, which, as we've seen in California, we've got a lot of experience with. There's been explosive growth with their solar program
out there. Because they've incentivized that, though.
Absolutely. And it's California as a state that has taken on that responsibility. And the problem is that the federal policy favors these more large centralized stations instead of the rooftop solar panels that the average citizen would be more capable of obtaining.
Can you stick around, John, for a little while?
Absolutely.
Good. John Farrell's with us from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance on WCCO. 424, this is Dodd Shelby on WCCO Wednesday E-Day. Energy and the Environment from the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, John Farrell, who writes an awful lot about solar energy. And let's tell the listener the difference between centralized and distributed energy.
I think the best way to think about it is, the centralized paradigm, if you will, is that, we have these large generating plants. Maybe, let's say, take the state of Minnesota. Let's say that our electricity comes from 20 large power plants. Now, that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but that we use then these high-voltage transmission lines to move that power around from those stations to the Twin Cities and up toward the Fargo-Moorhead area to Duluth, to our major areas where we use electricity. Now, the distributed idea of electricity generation says that we don't need to just build 10 power plants or 20 power plants, but we can have thousands of them all over the place, and that we build them much closer to where we need them. So instead of having a power plant, for example, in the eastern Dakotas that would send its power all the way to the Twin Cities, that we would find more people in the Twin Cities that would be able to produce electricity closer to home.
Is Linden Hills is an example of that? They're doing some work out there trying to, just as a neighborhood, using digesters and things like that to try to develop their own power supply within a neighborhood. Is that a small version of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Any time that a community, however large or small, looks at a way that it can leverage its own resources, its domestic resources, to generate energy, that's when you're talking about local self-reliance.
When can we expect, as the American homeowner, that you could install solar panels on your roof so that you could amortize it over the life of, not the just the mortgage, but the life that you might have in that house, 10 years maybe you'll live in that house. What would it take to get it affordable for the average person? Now, there's two people. One side is the moral side who says, I'm going to do it even if it means I'm not going to take six of our summer vacations. We're just going to do it even if it never pays me back because this seems like the right thing to do. I call that the moral decision.
Mm-hmm.
Then there are people who have to make who would like to make a moral decision but can't make a moral decision because the wallet's tight. And they say, look, if you can tell me that I can save money doing this, forget about saving the planet, because I'm not convinced of the science yet. But if you can tell me I can save money by going to solar, then I'll make the purchase. Anybody would. When will the time come when solar energy in distributed fashion, that means each home has solar power, whether it's solar thermal or solar voltaic, photovoltaic for electricity? When will that be in the future, do you see, that we can be afford that?
Well, there's really two answers to that. The first one is we're ready now, and as several countries in Europe, as the Canadian province of Ontario have shown, if you take a public policy step and implement what's called a feed-in tariff, which is a renewable energy policy that basically says we're all going to share the cost of building more renewables because we think that it's important to do that as a society to set renewable goals like we have with our renewable standard in Minnesota, then we can make solar panels on every home affordable for homeowners. And
because the government picks up a little piece of that? Is that what it does?
Well, it's not even the government. What you do is you say that these payments that you make to people for renewable energy, you establish a long-term 20-year contract for someone to sell their power to the utility, and then whatever additional cost that is over sort of the average cost of doing business is shared by all the ratepayers. So everyone in the state of Minnesota chips in, a couple of pennies a year in order to help pay for some solar panels that we see as important to get that distributed resource to generate electricity close to home and to have more renewable energy.
How about architecture when it comes to big buildings and businesses? Many people have talked over the years about each new building ought to have its own power supply. It ought to be able to provide its own systems. Have you had any luck in talking to people who are architects, who are corporate business people, who are thinking about building buildings, to build them in an energy-efficient way, not only just energy-efficient design, but energy-efficient in terms of producing their own electricity?
You know, there are some great folks. I believe they're an organization called Architecture 2030 that are working exactly on that issue. You know, how do you make buildings both use less energy in terms of the way that you design the building and the way that you face it, the way that you do windows, et cetera, but also in terms of doing that energy generation. But you also see success stories such as in California, where one of the major utilities down there is going to do 250 megawatts of solar panels across hundreds of different commercial roofs. These are, you know, your warehouses and whatnot.
Roofs that do them absolutely no good otherwise.
Exactly, exactly. And they're already tackling this project. And to bring that to the residential sector, as you mentioned, Don, you know, the city of Berkeley is looking at an innovative way where they would actually take that cost of those solar panels, and instead of somebody having to pay for it up front, which is one of the big hang-ups, they actually put that payment in as part of your property taxes. So even when you sell the house, it's actually just built into the house, because, of course, that solar panel has added value to the house. So it makes sense that we would pay for that as the homeowner, whoever that is, would just sort of pay for that resource that way.
I think we miss a great bet here in Minnesota because of so many cabins that are owned in the state of Minnesota by people who live in them maybe a month or a month and a half out of the year, that if you were to install solar panels on those places and have a tie-in system and sell back all the energy that it would produce year-round to the utility company, you could not only amortize, but you could actually make some money while that was making electricity in the old cabin that sits up there on the lake.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that kind of thing is exactly what we need to think about in terms of dispersing our generation and getting it to the places where we have demand, but then also thinking innovatively about where we can produce it.
Wouldn't it be something to see our electric meters run backwards?
Well, I think that's something that we should definitely look to be happening soon.
John, it's good to talk to you. Thank you very much. Tell all the people at Local Self-Reliance that we said hi.
I will do that. Thanks again, Don.
You betcha.